Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, March 7, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show is pre-recorded and will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Top 5 Ways to Stick to Your Savings Goals, with my guest, Dorothea Connor, finance and business coach. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. If you enjoy the show, now don't keep it a secret. Tell others who can benefit to tune in, or better yet, go to the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can download or listen to shows afterwards. I invite you, while you're on the show page, to click Follow the Show, which will send you notices every week letting you know about each episode, and also add yourself as a friend of my show. In addition, follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, and LinkedIn, and see what I'm up to over there on all those places. Now, again, I am Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can get a copy of my book, you can sign up for life coaching, and if you subscribe to my newsletter, you'll be able to immediately download a special ebook that I have prepared for you called It's About Time. I want to let you know that my book, Color Your Life Happy, is now available on Amazon for downloading to your Kindle or your smartphone. So if you've been waiting for that, then go right ahead over there and get it. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Now, each week, to get at that goal, I invite guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, we talk about so many things because all of these things contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Dorothea Connor, president of Connor Coaching, where she provides results-oriented personal finance and business coaching services. She is known for her no-nonsense approach and her charismatic personality. Dorothea is passionate about helping individuals successfully manage their money and business owners increase their bottom line. She often speaks to youth and adults in areas of money management and business. Dorothea is often called upon as a resource for various media outlets, including being a recurrent featured financial expert in Black Enterprise. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Dorothea Connor. Hi, Dorothea.
Hi, Flora. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me. It is such a delight, and this is a topic that everybody needs to know about, especially me. So I've been looking forward to having you share your tips. Now, the title of the show is Top 5 Tips or Top 5 Ways, but I know that there are many other ways than just 5, so I'm going to encourage you to just tell us about what you think are the most important 5 to know about, even though we know that there are many other ways to stick to our savings goals. So where would we begin?
Absolutely. You are so right. There are many, many, many ways. I'll give the top 5. I'd like to start with the emergency fund. So
okay.
Tip number 1 is anyone who does not at least have a starter emergency fund of $1,000, that is where you begin. Now, we know that normally the fully funded emergency fund is about 3 to 12 months. But let's start where we can. Let's start with $1,000. Some people are more comfortable with $2,000. What have you, just get it started. If you have zero in emergency fund savings, that's where you start.
Okay.
You know, so that would be tip number one.
Could I ask a question about the emergency fund?
Sure.
Do you recommend that the emergency fund be in a separate bank account or a separate place away from your regular checking and regular other stuff, you know?
Yes. Yes, okay. I certainly do now. Because that way, if it's not in your regular bank, you're not there regularly,
mm-hmm.
so you're not passing by on the way home from work or as you're doing your weekend errands. So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Okay.
And you're not tempted to go into that account. Also, a lot of people want to put that $1,000 or $2,000 into a mutual fund or a CD. That is not the idea here. This is not an investment vehicle. This is a way to get money quickly if something happens. The car breaks down. An appliance goes out. So you put that in a high yield, like a money market savings. That's where you would put that $1,000.
Okay, something that's accessible but not too easy for you to get your hands on, as in part of your regular accounts or something.
Absolutely.
Okay, at least have a couple of barriers you have to go through to get to it.
That's right. You have to think about it a lot harder. It's not so easy. There's no ATM card attached to that account either.
Yeah, see, that's my problem. I have all my accounts in one place. And this account needs to be in a separate place altogether that's not accessible so easily.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. So now we have our emergency fund set up. What is the second thing we need to do?
Tip number two would be to write down your goal. You have to be able to see what it is you're trying to achieve in order to actually accomplish it. So in doing your budget, because we all are doing a budget, right?
Yes.
In doing your budget, write your savings goal at the top of that budget so that as you're looking at it weekly, you know, okay, I need to save $2,000. I need to save $1,000. For those of you who may have an emergency fund, maybe you're saving for a vacation. Maybe you're saving for a shopping spree or you want to start a new venture. What is that savings goal? Keep it in front of you. Put it on the refrigerator. Make sure you have it written in your budget, at least at the top, so that you know you are going to achieve it because it is always in front of you. So make sure you write it down. That would be my second tip.
Now, let me ask a question about that. So if my savings goal is to save $2,000, let's say, for my vacation, which is coming up in 6 months, should I break that $2,000 down into six parts and look at saving, you know, that portion per month, or are you talking about looking at the full goal? How do you?
Okay. Now that goes into tip number three.
Okay.
You have to do the math. So here we go. Just like you said, you know you want to go on vacation. Vacations in 6 months.
Okay.
Yes, you take $2,000 and you divide that by 6 months and determine how much money you need to save each month.
Okay.
So you say, okay, I want to save this amount of money for whatever. How can I make this happen? So when you're looking at that number, then you go back to the budget and you say, okay, you're going to be in one of two places. You either have the additional money each week or each month, or you don't.
Okay.
So now, let's say you don't.
Okay.
So two things happen here. Either you don't go on that vacation, or you determine a way to bring additional income into your house so that you can set that money aside just for that.
Okay. Or third option is to cut back on something that you're doing that will free
That's
up that
right.
money for the vacation.
That's right. That's right.
You don't need
and
cable after all.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Let's not get started on the cable. Nobody wants to cut their cable. Nobody, but I make my clients cut that cable off.
Uh-oh.
People are spending a lot of money on TV they never get to watch.
Yes. That's
so,
definitely
yes.
true. And that brings me to when you said your clients, tell us at this point what you do as far as working with your clients and how people can reach you, because it sounds like a lot of us need your services, especially if you're going to be able to convince me to cut off cable, I need to talk to you right away. So tell us what kind of clients you serve and how to reach you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I service clients from all walks of life. I have some clients who are more facing a financial emergency, something major has happened in their finances, and they need help. They need someone who won't allow them to make a panic decision, and I help them guide them through that process. I have other people, other clients who are fine in their finances. They're successful. They're making good money, but guess what? They don't budget. They don't monitor it. They don't know where it's going. And they have some goals they want to reach, but they have no idea how to do it because they don't know where their money is going. So I show them how to develop a process and a strategy. A lot of times, all people need is a strategy, and that's where I come in. That's what I provide for them. So people can visit my website. Please visit my website, connercoaching.com, C-O-N-N-E-R, coaching.com. And if you sign up for my email list, you can also go on and download free spending plans and different resources that will help you get started in your finances.
Oh, okay, okay. And I saw some CDs over on your
site. Absolutely.
What are those products?
Yes, I have two CDs available. One is, and a DVD. I do a workshop called Don't Manage Your Debt, Get Rid of It. So there's a CD of that workshop as well as a DVD. And then for the parents, because a lot of times our parents are not quite sure how to help their children be responsible with money. So I have a CD called Raising Money Smart Youth that proves to be very helpful for parents.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Because if we
Thank
can
you.
Get the parents thinking that way and training their children, what a difference that would make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They'll be building legacies of wealth for their families. Absolutely.
Not to mention the schools have done such a poor job of teaching financial education. That needs to be right after English.
Right. Yes, I agree.
Budgeting, credit counseling, and so
I
forth.
Agree.
Be in the school
because
system.
That's right, because a lot of us, I had to wing it. You know, you're doing what other people around you are doing, so, and that's not necessarily a good thing. So I agree with you 100%.
Not only that, I think because I come from a mother who was frugal and was a great money manager, but I think that she thought that it was something that we would just know.
Yes.
So she didn't teach us in terms of hard lessons. I mean, we could have learned by example if we hadn't been so busy fighting against it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So just because she was a good money manager did not translate into me being a good money manager.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's still
Absolutely.
Something we need to really concentrate on. Let's get back to our tips. So wait, let me make sure I'm on track. So the first tip is to set up at least $1,000 in an emergency fund and keep that money away from our regular bank or, in my case, credit union. And it's not an investment. We're actually setting up something that we want to be able to tap into if we have an emergency. And then the second tip is to write down your goal, to make a savings goal and look at your budget to see if you can pull that off with your current budget. And then if not, step number three is to figure out how you're going to reach that goal by by letting go of cable or such thing, cutting back on some of these services that we just get into, and before we know it, we're paying monthly and not even paying attention to what we're doing. Well, so, okay, what's the next tip, fourth one?
I would say automatic savings.
Okay.
This, if you have automatic savings, simply means that you either set this up through your bank or through your employer to where you have a certain amount of money going into savings automatically from your paycheck. And if you set it up through your bank, it just automatically on a certain day of the month, that money goes into a separate savings account. And the way online banking is now, you can transfer money within banks. It used to be it could only be within the same bank.
Right.
But a lot of banks are offering to where you can transfer money within different banks.
Mm.
So I would say definitely, you know, map it out. If it's $50 every 2 weeks, if it's $20, I don't even care if it's just $10. Start somewhere each pay and having that money go automatically into a separate account that you do not touch.
Right.
That way,
okay.
Again, it's out of sight, out of mind, and sometimes you'll look up and forget that you're even doing that and
right.
look at that account, and you'll have reached your $1,000 or whatever
right.
your goal is.
Right. Let me ask you this, back up to emergency fund versus savings goal. The emergency fund is a separate thing from the savings goal. So the emergency fund, you want to work at that first when you
yes.
hit $1,000 minimum. Then you want to go to start working on your savings goal. Is that right? Is that
well,
the order in which you do it?
Actually, this is how this goes. Yes, close, but we missed a step in the middle.
Okay.
Because here's how this should work. $1,000 in the bank for your emergency fund. If you have any debt, you should begin then to get out of debt. And
oh,
then
okay.
you go back and come up with your 3 to 12 months fully funded emergency fund after you've gotten out of debt. So
oh.
let's say during this process you're doing this, because as we all know, that could take a couple of years, right?
Right.
So let's say during this process you do want to go to Vegas. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've been saving, you do want to go to Vegas. Then, yes, Flora, you put Vegas in your budget, and you start putting money away every pay, but this is only after you have at least $1,000 in emergency funds,
okay.
and you have a plan to try to get out of debt.
Out of debt.
Then Vegas or wherever you want to go,
okay.
Whatever else you want to do, absolutely. Maybe you're going to need a new car. Not a new car, but a new used car.
Another car.
Because you know that there's just too many repairs on this car, I'm going to need to buy a car for cash. So then
right.
you put the car in the budget, and you start putting money away to save for the car.
Okay. Let me mm-hmm. ask you about that. Well, I have two questions. One is about the your opinion of the online banking services, which don't
mm-hmm.
have physical banks that have become popular, and I'm not that familiar with them.
Yes.
What's your opinion of those versus a physical bank that you can go to?
I will tell you my personal preference. I have not heard of any problems with those. You know, they're
online.
Insured just like a physical bank.
Okay.
If anything happens to your money, of course, everywhere you go and you're depositing money, make sure it's FDIC insured.
Yes.
I personally prefer, I do online banking. I love it. But I prefer to be able to go in and build a relationship with a banker
okay.
because you need to have a relationship with your banker. And if something goes wrong, I can contact them right away. I can go in the bank. They can see my face. So I like the physical bank. And there have been times I've been traveling on at least two occasions, and my wallet was stolen.
Oh.
So I needed to go into the bank where they knew me, and I needed to get money with no ID.
Right, right.
So
right.
how are you going to do that if you don't have a relationship with your banker?
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of these online things as a place for maybe building your emergency fund because of the fact they're not as accessible. Although with online
True.
And telephone, you can still access things.
You can still access it. But I'm not totally against it at all.
Yeah. But I understand
and
what you're saying
mm-hmm.
with the relationship. That's very important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other question is about, you mentioned buying another car as opposed to a new
mm-hmm.
car. And I know that I have friends who have come to the belief that they never plan to buy another new car. They want to buy a good used car.
Yes.
And I always had the opposite opinion over the last umpteen years. Just because I didn't want car trouble, I wanted something I
right.
could count on for 5 to 10 years without any
True.
Problems. What True. Is your opinion of new car versus good used car?
I am a good used car lady.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, I had a new car. I had a new truck. And guess what? I still had to take it in for repair.
Oh,
so, you know, and I'm one of those people, you know, let's buy a car for cash. Now,
okay.
if you want a more expensive used car, you don't want to pay cash, at least don't, you know, I'm just not with spending a whole lot on cars.
Okay.
Because you're paying car notes, you know, it's the interest on the car notes, you're in it for 3 years, 5 years, and think about the interest you're paying, whereas if you had saved up $5,000, maybe saved up $5,000, put $5,000 down and got a $10,000 used car.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather pay off $5,000 or $10,000 than $25,000.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So my next car needs to be a good used car, huh?
A good used car, yes. And
except
I'll tell you this. If you take care of that car, I have a friend. She takes such great care of her vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Her car has to be 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine because she takes it in for repair before it needs repair. She takes it in for maintenance. You know, she's on top of that manual. Don't wait until it's, you know, you hear something, you know, clicking around in there. That's all you're on the side of the road.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned this because I've bought many cars in my lifetime. For my kids, I've bought good used cars.
Right.
Never bought them a new car, but for myself, I always bought Yeah, because I do keep them for 10 years.
So you pay them, you keep them, you pay them off. I would like to see how many miles. I'm telling you, it can last longer than 10 years.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, by the 10th year, I'm giving it to one of my kids, and then I'm looking at a new car.
There you go.
I am going to reconsider that now that I've talked to you for the future.
And I'm going to tell you this. You know, I'm not even mad at that you get a different car every 10 years. I just encourage cash, you know, paying as much as you can as opposed to having an inexpensive car note. Because the goal is not, I always say this, we're not to be misers. We're to be wiser with our money. So there's nothing wrong with switching out cars and different things. Just make sure that your finances are on point when it comes to that. Because think about how much money you're paying in car notes and insurance over the years.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Boy, you're going to have a lot to work on when I become your client. Okay, I think we're at the fifth tip. What is the fifth tip you have for us?
Oh, wow, and this is hard because there are a lot of good tips. The fifth tip, I'm going to give this as the fifth tip. Because, you know, we all like to go out and eat and have a good time. We're meeting up with our friends. I'm going to suggest that you have a little nibble before you go out to eat and order appetizers or soups for dinners out.
Okay.
Because, you know, think about what you're spending. Now, again, we don't have to be misers. If you want to go out to eat and you want to order a full meal, by all means, have it. But just think about your spending goals and don't think that just because maybe you don't have enough money to go out and get the full meal, that you can't go and enjoy that time with your friends. Get an appetizer, drink water with lemon. You're still there. You guys are still laughing and having a great time, but you didn't spend the $30, the $40. You know what I mean? You maybe spent
$10.
I have done that.
I do it all the time. About it is the food is not that great, number one.
That's true.
And number two, you often can't eat it all. And, of course, then you take some home, which that's great if you can take it home and you want to eat it. But it's typically not as good as the money you pay for it.
That's right.
When you mentioned drink water, I learned from my children, my last two children, when they were wearing braces, they couldn't drink soda pops for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So because they couldn't drink soda, we didn't drink soda. And I learned so much during that time frame because by the time they were no longer in braces, they were used to not ordering soda anyway. But we discovered that adding a soda to your, even fast foods, adding soda to your order, sends your total way up.
It does.
Yeah, ridiculously high. And you don't need soda. It's not good for you anyway. So we learned not to order. And to this day, when we go out to eat, and they say, what would you like to drink? Water.
That's right. Water.
Water.
We get water with lemon or what have you. That's right.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed, the more you go to some of these more expensive and more ritzy restaurants, you get less food. So you spend this $50, $60 and you're getting small portions anyway.
You're paying for the ambiance.
That's right. You're paying for the ambiance. So I enjoy the ambiance with my soup or my salad. And I have a great time laughing with my friends. Sometimes a home-cooked meal is just the best meal.
That's true. But, you know, another thing I discovered, because I do eat out a lot with meeting friends for lunch and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and I discovered that almost everything on the dinner menu has its lunch counterpart. And
that's right.
Everything on the dinner menu has its appetizer counterpart.
That's right.
And if you look at it carefully, you talk about a big savings, and it's just enough. I've gotten to the point where it's just enough, you know, that
mm-hmm.
appetizer. You don't need to eat as much as they serve. And now they're putting the calorie count on the menu. That helps a lot, because if you look at the calories, you go, oh, no, I can't eat that.
Right. I don't want that. That's okay.
I don't want that. So this has been great. I want to recap the tips to make sure that we have them covered. And listeners, mm-hmm. please note that there are many more tips that Dorothea could share with us, but we're just kind of hitting the top ones. The first tip is to set aside a $1,000 minimum emergency fund and be sure to keep that away from your regular accounts and make it inaccessible enough that you have to think about it before you go into it, but not so
mm-hmm.
inaccessible that you can't get to it in an emergency, which is the whole
That's
point.
That's right.
The second tip is to write down your savings goal, and this needs to be in your budget. You have to budget for it, and if you don't have money for it, you'll find that out with tip number three, and that is do the math, because if you said you're going to save X amount of dollars, then somewhere that has to come from within your budget. If it's not there, then you got to cut out cable or some other such thing. And be realistic, or get a second job, or whatever way you can pull that in. Then the fourth tip is to use your bank's automatic savings programs, and those are great. The
mm-hmm.
automatic savings also use, I like the automatic pay for paying for key bills. Just have them on, what do they call them, direct payment. Online bill pay. That's a great way to take care of your basic bills without having to think about it. And then the fifth tip, which is very important for our busy lives, and that is to order appetizers or soups or when you go out for dinner, or order from the lunch menu. Some places allow you to order from the lunch menu around the clock,
mm-hmm.
or order an appetizer for your dinner. You do not have to order that full-blown dinner. It's not that good anyway. As the prices go up, they're not, the quality and taste doesn't go up. So
that's
these
right.
five tips are tremendous. I love what you said about what you do as a coach is help people avoid making panic decisions, because
yes.
if we look at our money and see it dwindling, chances are we will make panic decisions.
Yes.
And those never turn out good. And then
mm-hmm.
one other thing you said I like is, it's not about being a miser, but learning to be wiser with your money.
That's right.
And
That's right.
I love that. We're at the end of today's show already, would you believe? And,
wow.
I hope that people listening to us have been enlightened, encouraged, empowered, and are going to take a hard look at their budgets and at their spending to become wiser with it. Please share this also with your family and colleagues. And remember, the show is recorded. You can return to listen to it, or better yet, download it, or subscribe to iTunes so in the future you'll automatically get the shows. I want to thank you, Dorothea, for being my guest. Do you have any closing words before we sign off?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I have had so much fun. I would just like to encourage those, you know, in this current economic climate, a lot of people are looking for work. I just would like to encourage them, let them know that there is hope. Nothing is the end of the world, and things are going to turn around for you. Just keep your faith up and keep moving forward and keep looking, and your finances are going to improve.
Thank you, especially if they follow the tips you've given.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes during hard economic times, we're forced to cut back and forced to look at our budgets. And sometimes that's the best thing we can do because we put into place some good habits that if we keep going will stand by us even when times get better.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I want to thank you again for being on the show, and I want to thank all of you, my listeners. I want to remind you to visit ColorYourLifeHappy.com to grab your free ebook when you subscribe to my newsletter. And I also want to invite you to visit Dorothea's website, www.connercoaching.com. She has some free resources over there for you, and she also would be very happy to help you become wiser, not a miser. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to please have a blessed week and remember to color your life happy.